Turn back with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1. Let's read these six verses one more time. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I believe there are two motivating factors in preaching the gospel. A man who truly preaches the gospel preaches it because God has called him to preach it. If a man is truly, honestly, sincerely preaching the gospel, he preaches it because God has called him to preach it. A command has been given. A message has been given. And woe is unto that man if he doesn't preach it. But I'm talking about inside the man. From the preacher's point of view, I believe there are two main things going on inside that make a man want to preach the gospel. Number one, it's love for God. Love for our God. If it's insincerity, I believe men stand up insincerely in the flesh, but if it's insincerity, true sincerity, it's love for God. It is love for His honor. It is love for His praise. The thing that I desire most this evening is that he might be honored and praised and glorified. That's right. And if that's the case, I believe we will all be blessed. I want us to be blessed. I've said this so many times. But first and foremost, the motivation for doing this is love, a desire that he might be exalted, high and lifted up before us, exalted for who he is. It comes from a love for declaring him in all of his glory. I love declaring him in all of his glory for who he is. The scripture describes him as prophet, priest, and king. Everything we need. All we need. Christ is all we need. We preach because we want his name to be known. We want him to be worshiped. We want him to be bowed before. The number one reason why we preach is love for our God, love for our Savior and our God, Christ Jesus our Lord. That's who our God is. And the second reason is love for men and women. It really is. Love for boys and girls. We do this because we have a deep concern over men and women's souls. Lord, give us a greater concern for men and women's souls. We don't know who his elect are. God has an elect people, and we don't know who they are. So our desire is preach to everybody. Preach to every single person that the Lord will cause to hear it. The Lord will allow to hear it. Blessed are we if we can read this. Blessed are we if we can hear this. Blessed are we if we can preach this. We want men and women to know who God is. We deeply desire for men and women to be under the mercy and under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our prayer. And then there's no greater reward in preaching than seeing that mercy and that blood evidenced on a person. There honestly is no greater reward in preaching the gospel than seeing the evidence of the mercy and blood of Christ on a sinner by way of that sinner believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean truly believing on Christ, casting their all on Christ, believing on who He is, believing on what He's done, believing in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and worshiping Him for it. That's what we do. We worship Him for it. We bow to Him for it. When that happens, that same love that God has given to the preacher for God, God gives that very same love to the preacher for the people of God. That's what motivates us. That is sincerely what motivates us. Love for the God we preach and love for the people of God who we preach to. And that's a wonderful motivation. That is a blessed love. That is an eternal love. Love for God and love for God's people. That's an eternal love. It's an eternal binding fellowship. And it's one that all of God's people give thanks for. They all thank Him for that. I just had the privilege of going out and meeting some brethren that I had never met before. Two of them I had met before. The rest of them, it was the first time I had ever met them. And my experience with them was fellowship in the gospel. That's what it was. I went out there because I believe the Lord called me to go out there, opened the door, opened the way, provided the way, gave me a message. And when I got out there, I found some men and women who loved that same message, sincerely loved it. I talked with them, and that was my experience. It was fellowship in the gospel. That's what those who truly love the true and living God share. They share fellowship in the gospel. And it just hit me what a precious thing it is. Just what a blessed and precious and rare thing it is to have like precious faith with other men and women. So precious. It's so rare. But that's the blessing that God's people have in Christ. All who believe on that finished work of Christ. I was talking to a brother out there, and he was telling me about someone who he loves, he dearly loves, who cannot let go of the law. And he said, we just can't have any fellowship. It's just that simple. He just cannot let go of the law. And therefore, there's no fellowship. Fellowship in the gospel. That is a glorious fellowship to be a part of. That's a glorious fellowship to experience. Fellowship is fellows in the same ship. And that's what we are. We are fellows in the same ship. It's something that unites. Fellowship. Something that unites. And that's what the gospel does for God's people. It unites us. It truly unites us. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, look with me at verse 4. It says, there is one body. And there truly is. There is one body. That's what I experience as I travel and preach to those who love our God for who He is. There is one body. You go out and you meet somebody for the one, you meet them one time, and you talk to them and you find out that this person loves the Lord Jesus Christ, loves the true and living God, and that's all it takes. You're joined together. There is one body. Someone who loves our sovereign Creator, our sovereign Controller, our sovereign King. There's one body. One body. You find a sinner who acknowledges what he is before God. I'm a sinner. And all of God's people can enter into that. I can have fellowship with a man or a woman in that. I'm a sinner. And then you find someone who renounces all of their own efforts, every effort they have tried to do to redeem himself or herself before God. I tried this, I tried that. Nothing worked. It all failed. You find someone who is totally, completely clinging to the blood of Christ alone. No works of mine added to it. No filthy, self-righteous works of mine added to His. I do not tarnish what He has done by trying to add my own hand to it and trying to add my own works to it. You find a sinner who says that, truly looking to Christ, truly clinging to Christ, and you are connected to that sinner. You're connected to that man or woman. In Christ, there is only one body. Verse 4 says, there's one body and one spirit. There is one spirit. One heart. One united soul. One mind. We have the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. One will. Thy will. Not my will. Thy will. Don't you love to hear a person say that and mean it? Not my will. Thy will be done. Verse 4 says, there's one body and there's one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There's only one hope. There's only one calling. And that's Christ. Christ is our hope. Christ is our calling. Verse 5 says, there's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. All three of those are the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one Lord. There's only one faith. Faith looks to Christ. Faith is of Christ. It believes Christ. There's only one baptism. We're immersed into Christ. Verse 6 says, there's one God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all. And how do we know Him and see Him and have Him? Only in Christ. Christ is the fellowship of God's people. Christ is. Christ is the gospel. And He's our fellowship in the gospel. As soon as you find another sinner. And that's what just blessed my heart so much. Soon as you find another sinner who is completely clinging to Christ, you are vitally connected to that person. You share a fellowship. You share a oneness with that person. And the Apostle Paul described that oneness in our text. He went into good detail on what our oneness is in our text. Turn with me back to Philippians chapter 1. In everything that he says right here, let's see if this is our fellowship. Okay, this is what unites us. Verse 1, he said, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. Servants of Jesus Christ. Willing, happy servants. Servants. I love that. I want to show you something here, right? This is just precious to me. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, the Lord came into his hometown here, his own country, the scripture words it, and he preached and he taught and he performed miracles, and the people were confused. All right, Mark 6, verse 3, they said, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. All right, that was his, in quotation marks, family. Earthly speaking, James, Joseph, Judah, Simon, those were his brothers, as the scripture refers to brethren. James and Jude, Judah is also called Jude. James and Jude were called to be apostles. Of his own brethren. After the Lord revealed himself to Paul, this is what the apostle Paul said. He said, "I saw none of the apostles except for Peter and James, the Lord's brother." That's how he worded it. So earthly speaking, the Lord, James, and Jude were brothers. But watch this. Go with me, if you would, to Jude. Just before Revelation, Jude. Chapter 1, verse 1. He said, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James." Servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. You say, "Well, Jude, earthly speaking, aren't you the brother of our Lord too?" Nope. I'm the brother of James. I'm the servant of Jesus Christ. That's what Jude said. That's what Paul said. That's what all of God's people say. The willing, happy servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our fellowship. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you so glad? Doesn't that put joy in your heart? That literally does put joy in my heart. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our fellowship. We bow in fellowship. We're sinners in fellowship who have been saved in fellowship. And we bow in glory. I just cannot wait to witness every knee bow. On earth, every knee will bow, some in judgment, but in glory. I cannot wait to see every knee bow. Every tongue confess in fellowship. We worship Him. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our fellowship. Go back with me to Philippians 1. Verse 1 says, "Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ," not the co-workers, not the co-pilots, the servants. The servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Verse 2 says, "Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace. That's our fellowship. I went out there, and I had fellowship with some brethren in grace. Grace. The grace of God. The grace of our God. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His kindness. Thank God for His favor, His tender love, His tender mercy, the freeness of His gift of salvation. Thank God for the freeness. I'm pretty sure that's a word. Thank God for the freeness of His salvation. Thank God for Christ. Thank God for the peace we have in Christ. Thank God it's not of works. That's the fellowship we have, and I had, and all of God's people have. We cry, thank God it's not of works. Thank God. While everybody else is saying, look at my works, look at what I've done. Our fellowship and our unity is, thank God it's not of works. Thank God it's not by works that we're saved. Thank God we've been freed from the law. What a happy condition. That's our fellowship. Service. Grace. Peace. I love peace. Peace with God, peace with His people, peace in the heart. Service, grace, peace, and thankfulness. I've been saying, thank God, thank God, thank God. Look at verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So thankful. We are thankful. You want to know what our fellowship is? Thankfulness before God. Thankfulness. We're just humbled. We're not proud. By His grace, we're just grateful. We're grateful to God for Christ and for His people. Verse 3, he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And I do too. I'll never forget the first time I really took notice of this verse of Scripture. I was a teenager, and somebody wrote me a letter and put that on the bottom of the letter. And it meant so much to me. And I have never forgotten that, and I've never stopped applying it to my brethren. I truly thank God on every remembrance of you. The word remembrance means mention. Every mention of you. He said, every time your name is mentioned, I'm thankful. And I know I'm a sinner, and I know I can upset you and all that kind of stuff, but the Lord will let us get past that, and He'll bring thankfulness to us for the fact that God would have a people. Thankfulness for what He's done for us in Christ. Thankful for Him. Thankful for all of His people. If you truly love somebody, you'll light up every time that person's name is mentioned. If you truly love somebody, you get a grandparent who has a brand new grandbaby, and watch that face light up every time that child is mentioned. If you love somebody at the hearing of that name, you'll be glad, you'll give thanks. We thank God for each other in Christ, don't we? Verse 4 says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Our fellowship in the joy of our prayer is in His will. We just said a moment ago that we love His will. We love His will. We trust His will. It is usually not our will, because His ways are not our ways. But we trust Him. We trust His will. We trust His purpose. We trust everything He does. We know that it's good and right. The judge of the earth can only do right. And our fellowship is in the joy of His will. Lord, not my will be done. The joy of knowing that His works are going to be done in and for His people. I can't help but continually talk about the brethren over there because they just had a big impact on me. But Sunday morning, a brother closed in prayer. And when I tell you it blessed my soul, he preached a message to me. And it blessed my soul so much. And as he prayed, I just had joy. I entered into the joy of what he was saying. Because I was thinking in my heart, I agree with every word. I agree with everything that you're saying and that you're begging God for. And I, based on what that man was praying on our behalf in that moment in time, I knew I have fellowship with him. And it brought great joy to me. Our fellowship is in service, grace, peace, thankfulness, prayer, joy. And it's all because of this right here. Verse 5 says, our fellowship is in the gospel. And it has been from the first day until now. He said, that's what I'm thankful for, your fellowship in the gospel. The gospel is Christ. The gospel means good news. It is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 and 17 tell us about our fellowship with the body and blood of Christ. We have fellowship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, joined to His body, joined to His blood. 1 Peter 4, verse 13 tells us about our fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. We're vitally joined to His person. We have been vitally joined to His sufferings. Thank God. If we weren't vitally joined to His sufferings, we would still have to be vitally joined to our own. But that's what 1 Peter 4 told us, and Philippians 3 tells us the same thing. Look at Philippians 3, verse 10. Philippians 3, verse 10 says, that I may know Him. Can we not all enter into that? I just want to know Him. And the power of His resurrection. I want to know the power of life through His resurrection. The life of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His sufferings. Everything that He suffered. I want to be vitally joined in union with that. Being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So we've been vitally joined in fellowship with the person of Christ, vitally joined in fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. And 1 John 1 tells us about our glorious fellowship with the Godhead. In Him, we have holy, sinless fellowship with the Father and with the Son. That wonderful news is the gospel. That good news is the gospel. Oh, we thank God for the fellowship that we have had in the gospel of Christ from the first day until now. That God would keep us, that He would keep us all these years and not let us go. From the first time He revealed it to us, all the way to the end. If you go back to Philippians 1, verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. All the way to the end. Our fellowship is in His start to finish work that He will perform all the way up to the day He returns. And the hope of that work and the hope of His return, that's our fellowship. We are waiting for His return. That's what we're doing, waiting on His return. And I thank God for that fellowship. That's what motivates us to preach. We preach love for Him, love for His people, thankfulness to Him, thankfulness for His people. This glorious calling into His fellowship, that's what motivates us. I pray God will call more into this fellowship. I pray He will. Lord, call Your people in and give us fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's all stand together.